Bucks fans, we are at the quarter pole of the season 3-1, and it is always exciting, extra exciting on the Ira Kaufman podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here, and the man of the hour, the man whose name is on this podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the custodian of Canton, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the prince of Pasco County, Ira Kaufman. Ira, Bucks fans are fired up. We're fired up. How are you?
I'm doing well, Steve. You know what you can call me today, Stevie? You can call me the professor. The professor. You know why? Because the professor is giving out his quarter pole grades to the entire Buck organization. And no, Glazers, I didn't weigh in on ownership. I skipped you guys. But from the quarterback to the special teams and the coaching staff, they all get a review from the professor. And I got to tell you, Steve, a lot of people call me Debbie Downer. I'm always pointing out that they don't have any injuries and they're not doing this well and they're not doing that well. Steve, my report card, it's full of A's and B's. I can't believe it. But they're 3-1, Steve, and when you're 3-1, you ain't going to get a lot of D's in season. That's just the way it is, baby.
All right, Professor. What about that 2020 cherry red Ford Escape with all the options that you drive with great pride from Bill Curry Ford? What's your grade on that?
Well, that's an A+, and I took it to Daytona Beach last week. A beautiful drive, three and a half hours each way. Had the Sirius blasting, little Springsteen, little CCR, little Beatles, little Stones. Car rides like a dream, Steve. What can I say?
So when you leave the hotel, Ira, and you're in the car and you're going out to get some Cheez-Its and, you know what you do when you go to the convenience store. Are women under 50 looking at you in that vehicle, Ira?
Oh, that side of me with that gas pump in my hand, the sage T-shirt and the cherry red. I mean, it's a hell of a combination, Stevie.
All right. You, too, can attract those types of women if you buy a cherry red Ford Escape 2020 like Ira has from Bill Curry Ford. Ira, in all seriousness, we have a lot of fun, but Bill Curry Ford, they are close friends of ours. General Manager Sean Sullivan takes care of Bucks fans like he takes care of everybody else with extreme respect. He just wants to help whatever you need with a car situation, whatever it is. Call him, text him, go to the dealership a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. BillCurryFord.com is the website. You can start shopping there. They've got their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. We can't say enough about Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. They're open 7 days a week. They'll bring a vehicle to you. You can test drive from home. I mean, they just do everything possible to make it right for you. Ira, we want to hear some of those grades, but, you know, that's what your column's about. We don't want to hear all of them. You know, I'm going to need
No, I'm not revealing the grade. You got to read the column, baby.
Oh, okay.
You got to read the column.
All right. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Now, Thursday night, Sage, you will be at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 8:20 kickoff, Buccaneers Bears. And we're building something at Big Storm in Clearwater. Beautiful 3,000 square foot outdoor dining and beer drinking area, fully covered, like not a little tent or something, a fully covered but open air structure. Great for a night game. They got A+ sound system there and so many TVs. Now they got the AstroTurf and there have been more.
They got fans going, Steve. They got the big fans going. Yeah.
Super comfortable outside. Their A+ menu. You can find it all at BigStormBrewery.com. They're on 49th Street, a little more than a mile south of Ulmerton Road. Indoors is the gorgeous tap room that's been there for years. Big Storm beers are top shelf, but it's fun. The Sage will be out there about 6:30.
Plenty of parking, Stevie. Plenty of parking.
Stuff in his face. And, great way to do this is to get out to Big Storm early for dinner, kick off, stay till halftime, and then go home and watch the rest on the DVR. A fantastic night out.
Not bad, baby. Steve, I was thinking of the ribs or the brisket a couple of weeks ago. And the Bucks were in Denver, and instead, the waitress comes by, what's on the menu? We got hogfish today. Well, Steve, I happen to be the only person that was in that tap room that knew what hogfish was. And I bit into this hogfish sandwich. It was sublime. So, Thursday night, I'm coming by for dinner before the game, and I think I got to tilt towards the brisket. I'm going to go through that whole menu, Steve, before this season's over.
Oh, absolutely. And this is just a great time to hang out with fired up Bucks fans. Great energy. The owners of Big Storm Brewing Company love the Bucks. And you get to take a picture with the Sage if you want to. And Ira's going to have more giveaways out there. A lot of fun. All the details at joebucksfan.com. All right, Ira. Now, look, before I bring Lee in here, I got to ask you this here, Ira. That game that we watched, that thrilling Buccaneers victory, should everybody be looking at this as a half glass half full, glass three quarter full situation? Because the Chargers, you know, over in Los Angeles, they're looking at this as a fantastic, extraordinary choke job by a team that should have beaten the Bucs easily.
I think it showed another facet of the 2020 Bucs, Steve, and an important one, and that is resiliency. I mean, let's be honest. They crushed the Panthers and the Broncos in the opening halves. The games were basically over. Now, as a result, the Bucs lost their focus a little bit in the second half and made it a little closer than they should have been. On Sunday, they fell behind 24-7. Now, look, Steve, we don't alibi on this podcast. Without that crazy fumble, and shame on you, Anthony Lynn, shame on you, the same guy that punts on 4th-and-1 in overtime against the Chiefs when Mahomes only needs a field goal and gets what he deserves, a loss. And then he's not going anywhere. He's at the 10-yard line, and the Bucs only got one timeout. That half's over. So he doesn't go into victory formation. He hands the ball off for no reason, and the guy coughs the ball up. Who knows what would have happened if it was 24-7 instead of 24-14. It would have made it harder. I don't say that the Bucs couldn't have won anyway, but it would have been a lot harder. But having said that, they played a horrible first half, the Bucs. It's hard to imagine they could have played a worse first half, Steve. They stunk after that opening drive. Absolutely did nothing on either side of the ball. You know, Bowles' blitz, totally ineffective against the rookie quarterback. And by the way, Steve, I think you'd agree, he's no ordinary rookie quarterback. He looks damn good. Damn good. But the Bucs showed a lot of resiliency. And I think maybe I overdid it yesterday in my takeaway column, but I just think Brady led the way. He just led the way. He brought everybody on his coattails. He was not going to let anybody get their dauber down. No sulking on the bench. Who was he mad at? He was mad at himself. He was mad at himself for throwing that pick six, having a poor first half. And he went about his business and absolutely shredded the Chargers with a lot of help from the line and the running game, and the defense played a lot better. But, Steve, they showed fortitude. They showed guts on Sunday, and we needed to see that from this team.
All right, Lee. So Ira's talking resiliency. He's talking fortitude. He's talking Brady bringing everybody back with a magic hand. You know, that's Ira's big theme here for this game. How do you see it? Are we glass half full with this victory, glass three quarters full? What's your opinion?
You should be glass three quarters full, because this was not the Bucs that we know and love. I mean, the first half yesterday, it's like a flashback to the past decade. I mean, this was the norm for the Bucs the past decade. Now, here we go again. This is the Bucs. They teased us. They are in first place. It was a tease. It was a con. It was a ruse. They're the Bucs. And so this should be glass three quarters full. If I'm going to fill the last quarter of that glass up with the flip side of the coin, so to speak, can I come up with enough cliches? I've been a big defender of the defense. You know this. I'm not so sure Bowles had these guys prepared. And I said that for a couple of reasons. One, Ian Eagle, even though he disgraced Leonard Fournette in my eyes, it's hard to believe he's working for the same Tiffany network that Walter Cronkite once worked for. He had a great stat, and I don't have them right in front of me, darn it. It's on my phone. But when Herbert was at Oregon, he was 11 touchdowns, zero picks his last year at Oregon against the Blitz. Thus, entering the Bucs game, he was something like either 11 of 13 or 13 of 16 passes against the Blitz. And they came after him, and he burned them time and time again. It was almost like a flashback to Lovey when Lovey played Tennessee and Mariota. Like he never saw a spread option offense before, and Mariota hammered him. And that's what this is like. That's another reason. You know, how many times have Bucs fans seen a rookie quarterback come in and embarrass the Bucs? There again, it was another flashback. So Brady saved their derrieres. There's no doubt about it. And Bucs fans should be rejoicing that, because any other quarterback, and yeah, I'm a big Jameis guy, even Jameis, any other quarterback, I don't think the Bucs win that game.
You know, Steve, I think Lee's making a tremendous point here about Bowles. I don't mind Bowles coming in super aggressive, because that's what the Bucs have done. And it's worked up until this point. So, you know, he's blitzing the house against the rookie quarterback. I don't mind it, Steve. But, Steve, this is what I mind. I don't think Bowles did a good job of adjusting, in-game adjusting, when it became apparent that this guy's a very poised rookie. He's not some scrub, and he was picked in the first round for a reason. And he was feasting against the blitz, Steve. But Bowles didn't make an adjustment, or not enough of it, in my mind. And those flare passes were very effective to the running backs. It looked like there's nobody within 10, 15 yards of these guys. And that's because he's bringing six guys. And Herbert knew what to do with the ball. So, Steve, I don't think it was Bowles' finest hour. The second half, they calmed down a lot. But that first half, receivers that nobody ever heard of. Lee, two of those guys had never caught an NFL pass that caught touchdowns. Not one single pass.
I was going to buoy your premise and back up your premise and make you look smart by saying most of those guys who were catching passes yesterday were undrafted free agents. They weren't even drafted. They were just like guys off the street, basically. And so that tells me that Bowles didn't adjust. I mean, if all these no-names were burning your defense and your defense is pretty much healthy, that suggests that you're not making proper adjustments, or you're just flat out unprepared and running the wrong defense.
You know, Steve, that's the flip side of being super aggressive, which is Bowles by nature, and I think he should stick to it because it's been effective. But the flip side is you leave your secondary exposed, Steve, and as you pointed out to me yesterday, and I can't argue with you, it was a step back for that young secondary, no question.
Well, Ira, would you say this? And I'm a big Todd Bowles defensive coordinator guy. I think he's a good defensive coordinator. He certainly has the resume to suggest that. And one thing I've learned covering the NFL, and I tell this to people who aren't sports writers, and people ask me about being around the NFL, and I always tell them the one thing I've learned about covering the NFL is never underestimate egos. Never, ever underestimate egos. Do you think that was sort of Bowles being arrogant? Like, you know my defense can do this. I don't care if he's a rookie. I don't care if he has a history of burning blitzes. My defense will take care of him.
That's part of it. And again, Lee, I don't mind the game plan, you know, that was formulated during the week against a rookie quarterback, albeit one that has had some success against the blitz. I don't mind the game plans, but the in-game adjustments, I didn't feel Bowles did a good job on Sunday.
A lot of ways to look at it, and that's really what makes it so fascinating. If you go back to the first touchdown, which Bowles said this morning, sort of disturbed me just a little bit, but he said that that first touchdown sort of knocked the wind out of the team, took the air out of their sails, was his quote, for a little bit.
I've heard that from Lavonnie David before.
Yeah, then they bounced back. So that was a little bit disturbing. And on that first touchdown, they didn't blitz, guys. And this guy, you know, I forgot his name already, Tyron Johnson, I think. He just sprints untouched, and they're playing two safeties deep, and he just runs past both of them. And Herbert, you know, threw the ball 62 yards in the air, touchdown. Now, I don't know if I can blame Bowles for that, you know. So it's just guys getting beat where they shouldn't. It was like they were sleeping a little bit. And I'll move more toward the lack of preparation, where they just didn't look sharp in the first half or even quick. You know, Ira was talking about those flare passes. A lot of times those little flare passes would come out, and they weren't necessarily rushing six, Ira, but like no linebacker would show up in the picture for like an extra second and a half than we're used to.
So absolutely right.
They
absolutely
just looked slow, bunch of second-rate receivers, you know, but the blitzes did work a lot more in the second half, so I can't really fault Bowles that much, but they just looked so, so flat in the first half, which we're not used to seeing.
Good point, Stevie. Lee, you know which one bothered me? The touchdown after the Bucs finally went ahead. I didn't like that at all. I thought that was inexcusable. I thought the Chargers were beaten down at that point. You know, they're going to lose by 14, 17 points at that point. And then the Chargers retake the lead. I I don't like that, Lee, against a team like the Chargers. That shouldn't happen.
Yeah, you're right. They showed some resiliency themselves, especially with all their injuries. I will tell you this, and it's kind of a segue. The one guy who was at the top of his game, to me, it was like one of his top five games. Lavonnie David was all over the place.
He was awesome. He was awesome.
And I wrote about this Monday morning on JoeBucksFan.com. In my eyes, he had the play of the game. I mean, a lot of people are talking about Brady's touchdowns or Keyshawn Vaughn's touchdown. When you, what you're talking about, the Bucs defense was not stopped yesterday. And it was, they were leaky. They were leaky. They were giving up a lot of yards. They were bending a lot is the term I used in my article. And the Bucs took the lead 35-31. Chargers deep in their own end zone. They looked to be marching. A penalty set them back. Herbert throws a pass to Joshua Kelly, who was bolting to his left to try to get a first down. Sean Murphy Bunting tripped him up, but it was close to the first down marker. And with his momentum, Kelly tried to dive for the first down. Lavonnie David caught him in midair.
He stood him right up.
Absolutely. And it was like maybe a half yard short of the marker.
That's
it
right.
Was close. And if Lavonnie doesn't catch that guy in midair, and that was a hustle play. He hustled to catch him, hustled from behind to catch him. That's a first down. We don't know how this game turns out. I just thought Lavonnie was just fabulous, especially on a day. I know a lot of people are going to get pissed when I say this. Sorry for the language. Where was Devin White? Was he at a baby shower or something? I don't know if he was sick. I don't know if they game planned him. The Chargers game planned him out of the picture, but he was a non-factor.
Yeah, he was no factor on the blitz, Steve. You know, no question. Steve, I said yesterday, and you guys can weigh in, through the first quarter of the season, I think Lavonnie David has been the best Buccaneer, Steve.
By far on the defensive side by a good margin. And, you know, it's exciting for him. And now we've got the national games coming up for him. You know, he's just got to keep it going. Bowles was saying this morning that this is just Lavonnie David. You know, this is just how he plays. But we know it's a little bit more special of a start for David, and thankfully he's healthy. On that last touchdown, Ira, they brought the house on the blitz. They brought everybody. Yes. And yes. They didn't get there, and you just can't do that. And it was sort of a weird spot to bring everybody, but you know, this is Todd Bowles, and we talked last week on the podcast how against the good quarterbacks this isn't going to work. And you know, Herbert makes his share of mistakes, but he was good against the Bucs and certainly has an incredibly live arm. And they paid the price. So hopefully they learn something and go from there. But let's flip the side of the ball, Ira. And I asked Bruce Arians this today. He said it was the best offensive line performance that he's seen in a long, long time from the Bucs. And Ronald Jones breaks out for his second 100-yard game. And he's now averaging 4.4 yards a carry. He's on pace for 1,000 yards. Do the Bucs have a running game now, Ira? What is your thoughts on that, since you're obsessed with the bread-and-butter run, as you call it?
I'm very impressed with the 4.4, Lee. We ain't seen that around these parts since Doug Martin was Doug Martin, and that's quite a while ago. Nothing wrong with 4.4. Lee's on pace for a 1,000-yard season. Not too shabby. Not too shabby. He's got hands of stone, Lee. There's no getting around.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a lot of work to do there. Arian said today he's got to catch it better. We got to throw it better to him. You know, all right, maybe the ball's a smidge behind him a couple of times. A couple he dropped right in his hands, Lee. No excuses. So he's a work in progress. If he wants to be a three-down back, Lee, if he wants that, he's going to have to work on that. Otherwise, he won't be a three-down back. And on third and six, he won't be in the ball game. That'll be McCoy and maybe Fournette. That's why McCoy's here anyway. I think Arians is right. I thought the offensive line was very, very good, Lee. The protection, 5 quarterback hits, 0 sacks, Joey Bosa, invisible. And Lee, you know, the talk of the town right now, and I don't blame him, is Tristan Wirfs. I mean, you start with Cameron Jordan, you go against Joey Bosa. Denver did nothing against Wirfs. Now Khalil Mack is waiting for him in the Windy City, Lee. But man, he's better on pass protection than I thought he'd be, and he's a solid run blocker. They got a real keeper over there at right tackle, Lee.
So let me get this straight, Hira. Worse is the talk of the town. So if you go to Fleming's and you hang at the bar and there's some attractive young lass in her cocktail dress that's maybe, 30-ish, and she's not talking about Brady. She's not talking about Evans. She's not talking about Gronk. She's not talking about LaVonte David. She's talking about Tristan Wirfs. What do? Pick up her tab?
You're totally off base with your premise, because you'll find me at Golden Corral and not Fleming's.
So Ira,
but you know what, Steve, you know what I mean about Wirfs. He's impressive. He's impressive.
Oh, yeah.
He's impressive, Ira. A couple of times there, you go back and watch the game again. It's not consistent every down. It never would be. But he and Rob Gronkowski, sometimes they are just literally just flattening everything that comes in their way on that right side. Very impressive stuff.
And I think that's going to be the spot where the Bucs, Lee, are going to go on third and one, third and two when they run the ball. Why wouldn't you? You're going to go behind Donovan Smith, or you're going to go behind Wirfs and Gronkowski. And I don't care if they got an extra defender there. I'm going to trust my guys to block them. Very good game for the offensive line, coming off what I thought was a so-so effort against Denver. The running game's been erratically, but yesterday it was damn good. And Ronald Jones, Lee, when there weren't big holes, he made a lot of yards on his own. Very nice job by Ronald Jones.
Maybe it's just me. I thought he had one good run outside. He got 20-some yards.
What's it going to take to Kemper?
Take a freaking house for a change from past 3 yards out. Quit getting tackled all the time. Can you break a tackle? Good
Steve,
grief. I mean, well, let's not fast-track him to the Hall of Fame like Gale Sayers was.
Steve, the man's coming off a 100-yard effort, and the Kemper's nitpicking over here, Stevie.
200-yard games in 35. Give me a – I mean, calm down, people. I know there's listeners who are like, they just can't wait to give it to me. I'll turn the tables. If you're a fantasy football player, in your first 10 picks, would you draft Ronald Jones? Hell no, you wouldn't draft.
I believe he's on Isbit's roster. I don't know if Steve used him yesterday.
But, I mean, come – he had a nice game. I'll tell you what I'm impressed with Ronald Jones. To me, he's turned into a hell of a fullback. He looked like Mike Allstott. He looked like Larry Zonka the last couple games, like moving a haystack. You see a haystack moving. That's what it looked like. Now, granted, he was getting good blocking to help that, but to his credit, he kept churning. He kept pumping his legs. He kept moving, and that pile went from what should have been maybe a 6-inch gain to 4, 5, 6, 9 yards the last couple games. He's turned into a hell of a fullback.
He did move the pile yesterday. Yes, he did.
He was never thought to be an inside runner. And now he's actually doing it. He's doing it damn well. And I am impressed with that. As far as a guy that's the next Marshall Faulk, come on.
No.
Hey, he's played well so far. There's a lot of season left, and he's got a lot to prove. And let's throw out some more cliches. But I'm excited. I mean, look, Fournette is injured, which is – that's the knock on Fournette. He hasn't played a full season yet. He was injured in college, and Bruce Arians today, you know, wouldn't commit that he'd even be ready to go on Thursday. Shady McCoy left the game injured, and we need Ronald Jones, so I'm throwing him all the good vibes I can right now. But Ira, Keyshawn Vaughn makes his appearance, right? So Ronald Jones dropped 3 balls in the first half. And Bruce Arians, I'm glad you mentioned it, Ira, because it made me laugh when he said we have to throw it better to him. Come on. We got Tom Brady there. He can't catch. The guy's got stone hands. It's ridiculous. Maybe next offseason he can work on it. But the Bucs get down deep in the red zone, and in comes Keyshawn Vaughn, which that's a lot of faith. And it's probably because Jones can't catch. And you know what? Vaughn runs his route. And his momentum is going one way. The ball's behind him. He catches the ball, doesn't even, doesn't flinch, doesn't get off balance. It's wet out there, and he's in the end zone. Very impressive.
That's a heck of a play by that rookie who, you know, should be way behind in the playbook and the game plans. Lee, you know, if Fournette comes back, whether it's this week or 2 weeks from now, they got McCoy. They got the young punk Vaughn. They've got Jones doing a nice job.
What did he do to you, Ira?
Well, you know what I mean. And that's nice depth in the backfield, Lee. That's nice.
Yeah,
now, look.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it's the 72 Miami Dolphins with Zonka Kick and Mercury Morris, but Lee, it's a lot better than we've seen around these parts, and you know, it gives me hope that Brady's play action, which he loves to do, and he's damn good at it. You know, as the season goes on, if this run game continues like it did against the Chargers, I see a lot of success for the Bucs, and heck. This is a very talented team, gentlemen. There's no getting around it. There's a lot of talent. A lot of talent.
Ira, just to be clear about Rojo, I'm not rooting against Rojo.
No. I never thought you were.
Yeah, but I mean, some listeners think I am. Whenever he's on the field, I hope that guy breaks out. I mean, I really do. I just don't trust him. The body of work just isn't there. Yeah, he had a good game yesterday. He had one good game last year. In 3 years, most teams would bench him for that.
Hey, Steve,
but
what
now,
about
real quick with McCoy, with yeah. Shady?
Yeah.
Boy, did he have a bad miss block yesterday. When Brady got lit up, he completely matadored a block. I mean, totally matadored. Whiffed on a guy, and Brady got lit up. That wasn't good.
When Brady got hit like that, ooh, that was a tough moment. I wasn't sure he was getting up. Steve, what about number 12, Steve? What about number 12? The pick six, he doesn't dwell on it. He brushes it off, next man up, next play up. And Steve, some people are calling him a dink and dunk. Are you out of your mind? I mean, he's got, I think, four completions of more than 40 yards, Steve. I think maybe two quarterbacks in the league have more than that. Prescott and Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers could add to that on Monday night. But he's not a dinker and dunker. He's not afraid to go deep. As a matter of fact, I wasn't with Lee when the game was in progress, but I bet you Lee was screaming in the first half, why do you keep throwing that deep ball to Scotty Miller? What the heck are you doing, Brady? And it's Scotty Miller. But you know what? Steve, he never stopped going to him. And eventually they start clicking, and don't look now, gentlemen, but Miller's got 250 yards receiving in 4 weeks. That's 1,000 yards if he keeps it up. This is little Scotty Miller we're talking about, gentlemen.
Who leads the team in receiving, which is hard to believe, but it's
hard
true.
Hard to believe.
Sage, all summer long, I told you Brady came here to throw the ball. You're telling me he needs balance. Lee's screaming at you, throw the damn ball. Who needs balance? We did this circus all year long. Brady's throwing 39 balls a game, Ira. 39 balls a game.
Well, that's one for your side over there, Stevie. That's a big number.
Scotty Miller, let's air it out. Mike Evans, let's go. Everybody gets the ball, and he's throwing it. Now, sure, he'll check down nonstop with the best of them, but he's throwing the ball a lot. He's clearly happy within the offense, and it'll get better. But, look, he's on pace for 44 touchdowns, 16 picks. I think it's hard to imagine right now that he won't get 30 touchdowns and probably throw 14, 12 picks, which is what they were looking for from him. And yeah, the pick six is indefensible. Just can't do that. And they were driving too. Rojo was pounding the ball. They're about to go up, in the game and at 14-7, and then all of a sudden they're down 14-7. So not excusable, but he came back. He played a great game, and Arians is getting exactly what he wanted.
I don't want to jinx myself here, DeKemper, but there's a chance. You know, when one door closes, another one opens. Lee, there's a chance that my incredibly dumb prediction about Mr. Cameron Brate, having a resurgence of his career under Tom Brady, he's going to get some chances now, Lee. He's going to. I mean, Gronkowski only caught one ball yesterday. It was a big ball. It was a 29-yarder. It was a key completion and a great catch by Gronkowski. But he only caught one ball. So if Howard's, if it's as bad as we think it is, Brate's going to get some chances. We'll see. But the ball's going to be in Brate's hands now. And if he drops a few, you know, it'll be a forgotten man. But we shall see. I just think there's a chance Brate's going to get some playing time now. I think he's going to be up to the challenge.
He's going to get a lot of playing time, I think. So far, outside of one game, Gronk really hasn't proven he's close to what he was in New England as far as receiving.
Right
in. Certainly right. Blocking, yes. So that would suggest Brate's going to get some chances. And I do know in training camp, Brate was catching a lot of balls from Brady. as was Scotty Miller. So that's interesting.
Evans was a stud on Sunday. I mean, he was far from 100%. The physicality is unbelievable, how he blocks the guys off with his body. You can see how the guy would be a good basketball player in terms of boxing out. I don't know if our listeners know what boxing out, but in Brooklyn, you box out, and that means when the ball goes up and you're trying to get a rebound and there's a guy all over you, you squeeze him with your body. You push him out of bounds, and you just keep coming and coming after him. And Evans is fantastic at it. And on a day when Godwin wasn't there and you knew Evans was going to get extra attention, he played a whale of a game.
Now,
Ira, I thought you were going to say on the mean streets of Brooklyn, boxing out means your opponent is laying on his back.
Yes.
Ira, now, when it comes to boxing out, we know that you mostly box out, as you mentioned before, when you're at Golden Corral, because you get up to that buffet and, you know, they put down the fresh tray of shrimp. It's fried and you got the wide base and you got the spoon and you got it going. But Ira, I got to ask you, when you go to Golden Corral and you finish up gorging at the chocolate fountain and you head home and you go to give Cosmo a couple of treats, you go down and get him from the pantry and it's all wet and it stinks and you've got a leak somewhere. What are you going
to
do?
You got to go to Florida's Elite Restoration. They're going to come over and give you an honest assessment. Now, Steve, are you trying to link Golden Corral with mold? Is that what you're trying to do, Steven? Because that wouldn't be fair to Golden Corral. But mold is a problem, and a lot of people don't want to talk about it. They might be embarrassed that they have an issue in their home. But it's something you got to jump on right away. You got to go to Florida's Elite Restoration. They're going to come over and give you an honest assessment. The odds are it's something minor. That's beautiful. If they need to work on it, they'll do it and give you a fair price for it. But you can't wait, Steve. You can't let it linger. It's only going to get worse. So Florida's Elite Restoration, that's the place to call.
Florida'sElitereStoration.com is the website. Florida's Elite Restoration, a local company. And you call them first before you call your insurance company. They're there 24/7. They're going to advise you, and they're, like Iris said, they'll come out, use their thermal imaging cameras, figure out what's going on. They work with plumbers all over the Bay Area, and they're going to give you a real assessment, and they're licensed mold remediation specialists. Sometimes you can see that water, but things have been brewing for a week, and you've got mold. You got to take care of it. Our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. 2 weeks, Ira, October 25th, Sunday Night Football at Big Storm Brewing Company. They will be buying a beer for everybody there at our watch party. Very excited about that. More details coming after this Thursday's game that we talked about at Big Storm Brewing Company. But so cool, the Florida's Elite Restoration. That's where you go if you have any kind of disaster in your home. Get to their website. Save it in your favorites there, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. All right, Iris, so the chocolate fountain is over, and Mike Evans... I got to put it in this perspective for you, Ira, because that's why you're the sage, right? I thought watching what Mike Evans did on Sunday, coming back from a first half ankle injury, visibly in pain, he left the field, got taped up, came back, was hobbling the whole game. What the performance he turned in, that's a Hall of Fame caliber, put the team on my back performance. And we've said he's been on a Hall of Fame track, but that was Hall of Fame written all over it.
You know, the one thing that strikes me about Evans and Lee, I don't think it gets enough notoriety. Everybody knows his physical talents, but he has tremendous drive, Evans. And man, does he want to win? He wants to be on a winning team. And he's been here, what, Lee, since 2014, the first pick Jason Light ever made in a draft for the Bucks, and he struck gold. It was a heck of a pick, and you could say, well, anybody would have taken Mike Evans. I think it was at number 7. That's not necessarily true. Some people thought Johnny Manziel made Mike Evans. Turns out it was the other way around, Lee. He's been a great Buccaneer. He's not a diva. Yeah, he gets emotional sometimes, Lee. He loses his cool sometimes in the jostling with the defensive backs, and if he thinks he got mugged and they don't call it, he gets upset. He has been taken out of a game by the Lattimores of the world once in a blue moon. But by and large, Lee, he's been an incredible player. for the Bucks. Enjoy him. He's in his prime right now, you know, and he is on a Hall of Fame trajectory. I know that's saying a mouthful, Lee, but it's not like he's done it 1 or 2 years. And I think he's got 5 touchdowns. Steve, am I correct?
Yes, 5 in 4 games.
You know, yeah, so you don't have to be a math wizard, Lee. That's a 20-touchdown season. That's pretty damn good. Even if he doesn't get 1,000 yards, I'll take 20 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to end up with 20 touchdowns. Lee, that's Jerry Rice territory. But he could get 15, and that's a big number, Lee.
Well, just in case some of our listeners, it's your podcast, some of your listeners aren't aware, if Evans gets 1,000 yards this year, he will be the first receiver in NFL history to have 1,000 yards in his first 7 seasons.
First 7 seasons. That's
he's right now he's tied with Randy Moss as the only receiver to have 1,000 yards in his first 6 seasons.
That's pretty good company, Lee. That's pretty good company. Yes, it is.
About Evans being such a tough guy. I remember earlier this year, obviously we know he barely got on the field at New Orleans. He did get on the field. He was clearly not 100%. He toughed that out. And after the – I don't know if it was after the game or the week after, but after the game at some point, he was asked about, hey, you know, you're toughing it out. You're trying to get on the field. You're not 100%. And he waved off the question. He's like, everybody in the NFL plays hurt. Next question. He didn't say next question, but that was his answer. Just a short sentence. Because everybody in the NFL plays hurt.
He's a great competitor, and I mm-hmm. think that's an aspect of his career that should be talked up a little bit more.
Sage, should I inject a little bit of concerning news into this podcast, or should I
please
save
do.
It? I should?
No, please do. This is an all-encompassing podcast, my friend.
All right, Sage. And we already touched on O.J. Howard, obviously. It appears he's done for the season. Bruce Arians said today that they're just waiting on the MRI, which will determine how bad his Achilles is. But we know the deal. That's why we were talking about Cameron Brate getting his shot now. Very sad for OJ. But here's what's a little bit more disturbing to me, Ira, because I think they can fill the gap from OJ Howard. If you go back and watch that game, Ira, there's something wrong with Jason Pierre-Paul. He did not play anywhere like he has previously. Because he's such a warrior, I'm not going to dare say that JPP was loafing, but his play looked like, if you didn't know JPP, you'd say the guy was loafing all through the first half. He came down with a knee injury on the injury report last week. The guy is not right, Ira. And I'm a little bit concerned because of the quick turnaround for this game and what that means going forward.
Well, I don't think you're wrong, Steve. He was no factor on Sunday, and that's a rarity when you don't notice JPP. Lee, I know they don't want to do this, but smart minds have to prevail here, Lee. Maybe you sit him for the Chicago game. Maybe you do it. And then you'll have more time for him to recover. He's not going to be 100% because nobody is at this time of the season. But he wasn't very effective, Lee, and if he's not very effective, that tells you right then and there, there's something ailing him, and I think Steve's got latched on to something there. And I wouldn't be shocked if they sat him for the Chicago game. Lee, put Nelson in, see what the kid can do. I want JPP healthy for the bulk of the season. And with a 3-1 start, Lee, they have a little bit of a cushion. Look, if he's good to go, he's good to go. But if it's a nagging injury, I would think about sitting them.
Sure, if that's the case. I mean, Chicago's offense is garbage right now.
It is. It's garbage.
If Foles, yep. I don't care garbage. If Foles. I don't care if it's MVP Mitch. It's garbage. And so you might get away with him not being there. You might. You might be onto something there, Ira. This might be a game where you can get away with not having JPP. And like you said, he gets that extra, you know, week and a half of rest. I don't doubt that they need him for the long haul. I've written many times during the summer that the key to this defense is JPP being upright for the season. As important as it is for the offense, for Tom Brady to stay upright, it is equally important for the defense for JPP to stay upright. Because if JPP can't play, then it's all hands on deck stopping Shaq Barrett.
They'll need him against Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sure they need him against Nick Foles, Steve.
I agree with you, Ira, except And I would agree with you wholeheartedly. However, in this era of the COVID-19 and what's going on around the league, I don't think you could even ever say there's a cushion. I don't think you can say it, because every game, you know, is so meaningful when things can change on a dime. So I'm just going to throw that out there. But
there might be a 12-game season if, you know, there's a massive flare-up.
Yeah, I thought that was a little bit overblown, the 12-game season, just because of all the stuff Peter King wrote about how the NFL would just delay the playoffs. If they had games to make up, they would take a couple of weeks to make up games in January before they started the playoffs. So I thought that was a little overblown, but you don't want to lose games and lose guys, and that's what's going to happen eventually for some of these teams. Regardless, it's an area of concern, and yes. You know, hopefully Anthony Nelson is up for it, like you said.
Steve, two quick points about the division in my mind through the quarter poll. Teddy Bridgewater, I think the guy's good. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's doing a very nice job in Carolina. I thought he played very well against the Bucks in a losing effort. I like him. I think he's a winner. Number two, there's something wrong with the Saints defense. I don't know how banged up they are back there. They got a good coordinator in Dennis Allen. But, Lee, they're giving up a lot of points. They almost lost to Detroit. I think they ran off 35 straight points, the Saints. The game should have been salted away. And instead, I think they went 35-29. This New Orleans defense, which I was very high on, I thought it was a very underrated group, overshadowed, of course, by Breeze and Michael Thomas and Sean Payton. They're not playing well in New Orleans, Lee. There's some problems there.
Isn't their secondary getting old? I mean, Lattimore's still young, but isn't the rest of their secondary?
Well, they got Malcolm Jenkins, and he's old. Yeah, he's old. And they brought him back for a second stint from Philly. Good player, but a little long in the tooth. And, you know, maybe they miss, Davenport? Maybe they miss him. Cam Jordan's not doing much. But I expected more out of the New Orleans defense, Stevie.
Now, one other thing about the division, we're recording this before Monday night's late game, which is the Packers and the Falcons. I got to root for the Packers, Ira, because Falcons go 0-4. They could blow up that whole team, and the Bucs still have two games left against them.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you hope that happens so Raheem Morris gets a shot as an interim. But, you know, Raheem's got the worst timing in the world. He got a head coaching job with the Bucs when they didn't want to spend any money and miraculously, you know, pulled off a 10-win season that nobody saw coming. And then Lee, he's in prime position right now. Quinn's hanging by a thread. But his defense is getting ravaged, Lisa. How would it look if Blank bumps up Raheem Morris? That would look horrible because he's part of the problem right now.
You know, a lot of people are wondering how is Quinn still head coach? Well, who are they going to turn to? They're not going to turn to Raheem with his defense is the problem. Now, you could argue that it's Dan Quinn's defense. He's a defensive guy. He's got the final say. The buck stops on his desk. Okay, but still, I mean, I don't know how you can promote Raheem at this time. I don't know how you can do it. That's number one. Number two, who else would you promote to head coach? Cutter? I mean, I always liked Cutter. You know, I thought Cutter was a decent coach. Hey, he got 9 wins out of the Bucks, but and I don't think Cutter will ever be a head coach of the Falcons. Maybe he won't last after this year. And here's some more intrigue. Albert Breer had this morning in his Monday morning quarterback column. Apparently, Rich McKay has been getting a lot more football say-so than he has in recent past. Now, we know that he left the Bucks to go to the Falcons. He was in charge of the football operations. Well, when they hired Dimitroff, your buddy Artie Blank basically shoved McKay out of the football operations and had him as president of the team.
Literally, well, his main job at that point, Lee, was getting him a new stadium. Which he did.
Breer reported today that McKay's getting more and more football responsibilities per Blank. Blank is putting him back in football. And I've heard through the grapevine, let's just say that Rich McKay is not exactly a Cutter fan. He respects him, but the NFL, like I said earlier, never underestimate egos. The NFL is also a clique. And let's just say that Cutter doesn't belong to McKay's clique. I mean, you know, obviously Blank has the final say. He's the owner. but I don't think Cutter is a McKay guy. So I don't think McKay would promote Cutter as a head coach, aside from the fact that he's not going to fix the defense. No way Cutter's going to fix the defense.
Steve, I'll say this about Cutter, to be fair. He's a heck of a coordinator. I'll say that.
Yeah, look, they're putting up a ton of yards and doing their thing, and Julio Jones comes back, and maybe they can salvage a game tonight, and then their schedule loosens up. But it's been out there publicly, Lee, for a while that Rich McKay has been heavily involved. Ever since Scott Pioli left, he's sort of filled that void, and he was involved in the draft this year. And it's clear that he was involved in personnel starting in 2020. So, yeah, you never know. All right, guys, look, I got to run this past you, even though it annoyed a lot of fans, but I can't censor it. But first, I want to remind everyone that Bill Curry Ford presents Ira's work all across JoeBucksFan.com. They're great supporters of the Scuttlebucks podcast and all sorts of other stuff at JoeBucksFan.com. General Manager Sean Sullivan, he does not mess around. You call him up, email him, and you say, Sean, I need some help. I got some questions about getting out of my lease, or I'm wondering, I'm looking at the Ford Edge, and I'm thinking this. He's just going to help you as a regular guy, and that's how much he cares. Plus, there's always the Ira Kaufman Joe Bucks fan discount on top of that, BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, Ira himself, will be at Big Storm Brewing Company, the place to watch all your road games. Details at JoeBucksFan.com. But stock up on Big Storm beer. That's what you want to drink at all times. They're great core beers. You can look at all of them at BigStormBrewery.com. And we thank Florida's Elite Restoration. You see water, you got mold, you call them 24/7. They're going to respond to you immediately and give you honest help. Keyword honest. Now, Ira, Bruce Arians twice after the game yesterday, he jumps on Buccaneers Radio Network and he says, you know, we would have lost that game. They would have beat our ass by 20 points last year in that kind of situation, down like that. And then he said something very similar on his news conference after the game. And as soon as I heard that, I'm like, wait a minute. 6 games ago, they were just trailing by 14 in the third quarter to a Colts team that was better than this Chargers team. And they came back and won. Thrilling victory with Jameis. So what is he actually talking about? And my interpretation, Ira, was that, and plus the Bucs never lost a game by 20 last year to begin with, and my interpretation was it just is this continuation, this extension of what Arians did all offseason, which was sort of blame everything on Jameis, and we're going to get a guy who doesn't turn the ball over, and we're going to win games. What do you think of that, Ira?
Well, I'm going to take half of that, Steve. I don't think he meant it as a slight against Winston. I don't. Lee, say what you want about Winston. He was relentless. He never got down on himself, and he kept firing. Now, I'm not trying to compare him to Brady. So, Lee, what I'm saying is I think it was another bouquet that Arians threw towards Brady. And based on what I saw yesterday, I think it's damn well deserved. Brady was fabulous in the second half. Fabulous. And brought everybody along with him. And I think that's what Arians was talking about. You can't read everything Arians says into a slight on Jameis Winston. I don't think it's meant that way, and I think people are a little too sensitive in that regard.
I'm 50-50. I'm 75-25. I fully get what Steve's saying, and it did cross my mind yesterday. And the game that crossed my mind when he said, oh, we'd lose by 20, if we were down the way we were today, I'm thinking, wait a minute. Weren't they down by 2 touchdowns in the first quarter to Houston, thanks to Jameis, and he brought them back? And Houston was a better team than San Diego. They're a playoff team. And so I'm like, wait a minute, this doesn't sound right. But I just, you know, I unlike Steve, I just like, that's Arians being Arians, shooting off his mouth, which I enjoy, by the way. I'm not criticizing that. Keep shooting your mouth off, Bruce. I love it.
I think it was more of a positive towards Brady. That's the way I'm looking at it.
But anyway, I do remember at the combine when, you know, Arians kept saying, we can find a quarterback, we can find a quarterback. And then he threw in there, we can win with Jameis. I do remember him saying that. But somebody, and I can't remember who, I read it this morning, you know, someone that has direct access to Arians, whether it be Peter King or Albert Breer or your buddy Clark Judge, possibly, who had a great line today. I emailed it to you. Somebody had access to Arians and asked him to clarify that comment, because I think they were thinking what Steve was thinking. And Arians clarified it by saying it meant more to do with maturity and character. And, okay, well, that makes a little bit better sense. Okay, oh, fine. But I can see how people would say, oh, he's slamming Jameis. And maybe he is, but I don't think it's a direct slam at Jameis. Maybe no, backhanded.
No, it's definitely not direct. But, Ira, I just think it's interesting because, first of all, most coaches never talk about last season. Never. They just don't do it. And two, it wasn't accurate. You know, it was just sort of this emotional thing. And I think it's a great tactic by Arians. I don't care about Jameis. He's not here. Tom Brady was better than Jameis last year. He's better than Jameis this year. I don't give a crap about that. I just think it's interesting that the head coach starts throwing this around. And we all know the big difference on the team is the quarterback. So it's just
it was spur of the moment, Steve. Spur of the moment.
He said it twice. So yeah. Spur of the moment, I would give him, but he said it twice. They're talking about it. Dungy's talking about it with Mike Florio on Sunday Night Football last night. So, you know, everybody's paying attention now. So I just wanted to throw it out there just as it's an interesting mind game. And I think Arians is actually doing this intentionally to keep telling this team, we're different. We're different. We're different. We're different. We got Tom Brady. You know, these guys listen, they're paying attention, they're watching Sunday Night Football halftime, and I think it's a great psychological tactic. All right, Ira, send us out of here with some words of wisdom, and we will figure out when our next podcast is going to be, but get us out of here.
They will be ready on Thursday night because Arians knows that they need a better performance. The Bears are a better team right now. They're healthier than the Chargers were, and the Bear offense, it's a pop gun offense. And as Lee suggested, I think the Buck defense will rebound in a big way. And Buck fans, feel good about your football team. You're in first place. You're on a 3-game winning streak. Don't look back. The playoffs are dead ahead.